Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Bava Metzia Daf Kavtes. We are holding right on top of the Mishnah. Makabel Soda Mechaviri. A fellow contracted with his friend. He's going to be the sharecropper. Rashi points out that here we're speaking about a Choycher, which is the flat rate system. Okay, so he's going to deal with the fellow, he's going to take care of his field for a couple of years. L'shana mu'atois, for a small number of years. Okay, and Rashi says it means pachis mizayin shanim. It's a contract with a duration of less than 7 years. So he must be careful to keep away from any activities which can have long-term damaging ramifications to the field. So he has two restrictions. Lezer and a pishtan. Firstly, you should not plant flax, which really you know, wears out the land, and it has a 7-year effect. It takes 7 years for the karka to regain its former, you know, strength. So if he's there for less than 7 years, he shouldn't be introducing pishtan into this property. Likewise, he's not entitled to chop off the beams, the sikma beams. So the sikma tree is an interesting tree. It grows with many trunks, thick trunks, which are used for beams, for construction purposes. And that takes 7 years to regrow. If he's there for less than 7 years, he's not entitled to pick off these beams. But kibla himenu l'zayin shana, if he's there for 7 years, then he could do these things. Shana rishana, the first year, he can introduce the pishtan, Yisrael and a pishtan. V'yishle b'karash shikma, likewise, he can, that first year, he can remove the karash shikma, because by the time he's done, it will have fully regrown. Amar Abayi, b'karash shikma inlay. So we speak about a fellow who's there for less than seven. He's not entitled to the karash shikma. Okay. But b'shvach shikma yishle, after all, you know, in 5 years, the shikma did grow pretty significantly. And he has a portion in that as well. He's not going to remove it, but he has a right to ask for compensation. He's meant to get, let's say, you know, 40% of the crop. This is also a type of crop, according to Abaye, because these things are meant to be removed. It's like pay raise. So even though practically we don't allow him to do it, but he's entitled to be compensated for his portion, for his cut, so to speak, of that uncut beam. Rabbi disagrees. No. While in its uncut state, it's considered kerem, its principle, it's part of the actual property. You don't walk away with the trees. You get a cut of the, you get a percentage of the crop. It's not crop. So if you're not entitled to the actual beam, you can't demand compensation for your portion of that added growth in the tree. Meisvei, here comes a kasha on Rava, who considers the extra added growth as principle, as keren, as actual property, and not as peiros, which provides, which would entitle the sharecropper to a portion of that. Meisvei, a makabel sada mechaveri, a fellow was makabel a field. It's time to leave. Shamaloi, we make an appraisal for him, and we give him a portion of that, whatever it is. Now, what are we appraising here? My love, I mean, the grain he takes, at least part of it. What's the point of appraising and compensating? My love, shamaloi b'shvach shikma. We are referring to the added shikma growth, which he can't physically take. He can demand compensation. It's a right to Abaye. It's considered payrus. No, says the Gemara. Loi, shamala yarka v'soka. The appraisal pertains to vegetables that grew in that field. Yarka, vegetables, v'silka, beets. And he's meant to be compensated for his portion of that growth. Well, says the Gemara, that's what it is. Let him take it. He's entitled to the actual fruit. Why does he need to be compensated for it? Why is he demanding payment in lieu, right, to substitute for that fruit? Yarka v'silka ne'akir, let him uproot it, pull it out, finish, go and take it with him. At least his cut, his portion. The market day has not yet arrived. It's unfair to pull it out at this point. It's going to get ruined. He has to leave it in there, but he's entitled to a share of that growth, which grew under his watch. So he substituted with a payment. But it's not speaking about added tree growth. because that's called tree, that's property, that is not entitled to. Toshmai comes another riot. And Makabal said Mechaviri. Okay? Vigya Shvius, and Shvius arrives. Shomeloi, we have to make an appraisal and compensate him. Now, what's going on? Shvius, Mika, Mafka, Arish, because Shvius comes, why does he have to leave? I understand you can't work the field on Shemitah, but why does it cancel the sharecropper arrangement? Why does he have to leave? Why can't he carry on after Shemitah? Ella Ema, rather, it goes like this. Makabal said Mechaviri, Vigya Yoiv, the 50th he arrives, Shomeloi. Again, the same question. Vakati still, Yovel mi mafko kablona. Since when does Yovel affect a sharecropper contract? I mean, litzmisus amar rachmana. Torah says Yovel overrides permanence. If not for Yovel, would you be permanently there? Meaning, a person buys something, Yovel comes, takes something which should be which could be permanent, which has potential for litzmisus, and undoes that. But if he's just a kablon, a sharecropper, there's no element of permanence there. Yovel doesn't obliterate that. So that can't work in the Braisa. Ema, rather, third attempt is like this. The Braisa is speaking about Halekeach, Sodom Mechaveder. Shimon purchases property from Reuven. Yovel shows up, and now he has to abandon that property. He has to give it back to the owner. What did the Braisa say? He's entitled to some form of compensation. Shimon Loi. Apparently, he was speaking about some added value. Okay, so perhaps we'll propose, as we said before, what's going on vegetables which he's leaving behind. He's entitled to be compensated for those. No, he's not. Silka v'yarka, these vegetables be able, and yevil afkeru, it becomes hefka, it's ownerless, belongs to everybody. You're not entitled to be compensated for that. Elalav, the only option left is shvach shikma. These shikma beams which he hadn't taken with him, and they're nice and big now, and he wants to be compensated for that before he gives up the field. Apparently, it's called Peres, and not Karen. That's a riot to Abaye's approach. Tirguma Abaye, I'll leave it to Rava. So Abaye came and explained it according to Rava. He answered the kasha on Rava. Shani Hassan. You're right, but that price is different. We're speaking about relinquishing property, come Yovel, and you're still entitled to hold on to some added value that you have contributed to, that happened under your watch. You know why? The Amar Kor, the Pasuk says, V'yotza mimkar bayis. You give up the actual home that was purchased, the actual field that was sold. Mimkar chayzer, but shvach, the added value, the increased tree size, that belongs to the buyer. Einay chayzer, that doesn't go back to the owner. He has a right to take that. V'nigman minay, okay, so let's learn from there. Just like the added thickness in the tree is considered yours and not the original owner's. Likewise, by a mikabel, we treat that separate from the actual field. He's entitled to a portion of that added thickness. No big difference. Hasam zvini malyahu. Over there by Yovel, we're speaking about a real purchaser. Shimon bought this field from Reuben. It's really his. The Yovel, but comes Yovel, afkata de malki. The Torah Hashem says, let go. Let go of the actual field, of the actual house. But not the added value, the added shvach that you still keep. So by Yovel, it's yours, except for what the Torah demands you to let go of. But shvach of the tree you still hold on to, you still retain. But by us, by the Makabel, goes the other way, goes the other direction. Really, it all belongs to Reuben, the owner. Shimon is just a Makabel, he's a sharecropper. Okay, he's only entitled to real peris, but not something which really relates to the actual property, such as the added thickness of those trees, although they grew under his watch. So bottom line, we have a Machlek Zabayev Rava. I mean, the actual field, of course, belongs to the owner. The actual tree belongs to the owner. The peris, well, that's a shared issue, right? The shared entity, that belongs partially to the owner, part to the sharecropper. These are sort of in between. It's a gray area. The shvach shikma. Because remember, the shikma beams are meant to be removed, but it's still premature. It's not ready to be removed. But it has added value. Now 50% of its full growth. So the mekabel wants compensation. Abaye says he's entitled because it's like Paris. Rabbi says no. Shemitah is different. I mean, Yovel is different. Continues the Gemara. Rav Papa kabel aralas fast. Rav Papa was makabel a property to work on it and to generate, you know, animal feed. Kotchu batali. Suddenly, there were trees that started sprouting in the field, and suddenly there are trees growing there. Kikam astalik. So down the road, Rav Papa was leaving the job. Omar Louis told the owner, just like I'm entitled to a percentage of the asfasta, havalishvacha, give me a part of the value of those trees. Look, it's something which happened under my watch. Amar le Rav Shisha b'rei de Ravidi Rav Papa. He challenged Rav Papa. If that's the case, let's say you're tending to a palm field, right? And suddenly you see that grew. Why, naturally, trees grow, right? Hachanami debar mar shvachi. There too, you demand a percentage of the added thickness. I mean, it's part of the field. You get part of the peris, but the field and the trees belong to the owner. Here as well, why are you demanding a portion of these young new trees that happened under your, you know, watch? Amar lei, so he responded, Hasam lavadat adachi nachas. In the case of the palm trees that grew thick, he wasn't planning on taking a part of those trees with him, so it wasn't part of his commission. Ano, but by me, hacha adat adachi nachisna. I came down to the field to take from anything that grows in the field, including these trees. It says the Gemara, okay, this ties into the previous discussion, because they were speaking about added value due to tree growth, right? Kaman kabai, are we going only like kabai? The arm b'shvach shikma yeshloi, just like over there, he demands a part of the shikma tree here as well, but it's not going to go like Rava, who considers a tree to be actual property and not produce. Afilu tema k'Rava, says the Gemara, no, this claim of Republican work, even according to Rava, big difference. You know why? Hosam lesli p'seda. In the previous case, when the shikma trees grew nice and big and developed themselves, the sharecropper had no loss from it. Right? Hacha ikab seda. As opposed to our case, look, he was meant to plant asfasta throughout. Suddenly there are trees growing. They take the place of an asfasta. So he lost that spot. So he's entitled to some compensation. Amalei, so he responded, my p'seda. Okay, so how much did you lose? Yeah, the asfasta. The place where you could have grown the asfasta instead of the tree. Okay, so at least don't ask for more than that. Shokol yodid asfasta. Vazil, take as much as demand. You're entitled to the value of the potential asfasta that you could have grown in that spot. That's it. You're done. Don't ask for more. You can't ask for the actual tree or the value of the tree. Amar Leis, he says, no, I wouldn't have planted cheap asfasta in that spot. I'm not kurkum with the rishku rabbi. I would have planted the expensive saffron, the garden variety saffron. So I want more than that. Amar Leis, he says, okay, but at least you're conceding golas adaitach to the mishkal v'istaluki adas. You were never planning on really planting something here for the long term. You weren't planning on planting trees as a long-term investment. At most, you're saying you would have planted something, a saffron or something that you could have planted, quickly walked away with it and made a dollar, right? Okay. Shakal, so he used like a sort of a play on words. Shakal, take kurkuma rishka vazil, take whatever you would have planted and taken away. Meaning, theoretically, you would have planted kurkuma the rishka, so take that much and leave. What does he mean to say? At most, you're entitled to firewood value. As though those trees that grew were not uprooted and sold us for firewood. You were never really planning on planting here for a long-term investment. At most, you were going to plant something and take it with you. Okay, so now we have trees. Imagine the trees are now going with you. What is their value? Firewood. Okay, so that's what you're entitled to. Rabbi Barabai Kabal Ara. He was Makabal, a piece of property. He was a sharecropper. And around that property there was this rocky, you know, like hard surface where you can't really plant. Suddenly we have these little bushes or whatever, zarda trees growing there. So when he left the deal, when he left the contract, he told the owner, provide me a portion, a percentage of the value of those trees as well. It's also part of my doing. Amar Papi, no, he disagreed vehemently. Mishum da susu mimoloi, just because you come from the descendants of Eli HaKoyen, who had a klala to die young. Amrisu milu mil yosu, you're saying incomplete things. Meaning, why are you demanding this extra commission? Afilu Rav Papa le Amar. Excuse me, even Rav Papa in the earlier story only demanded pay because Ela Dislep said, because he in fact was suffering a loss. Because those trees were displacing some of his, right? But here you have no loss. Nobody plants on rocks. So you can't demand anything for those plants. Rabbi Yosef Havaldeo Shasla. Now we shift to a Shoysel, a Shasla in Aramaic. He's a fellow who tends to a vineyard. He actually is like a full caretaker, a full landscaper. He plants the vineyard and maintains it, and he gets 50% of the produce. That's his deal. So Rabbi Yosef had this worker who took care of his vineyard. Shachav, he passed away, the caretaker. Shavak Chamisha Chasan Basa. He left over, he left behind five son-in-laws who wanted to take over the business. Omar, Rabbi Yosef says, look, I'm not going to deal with five separate people. I want to get a new contractor. Ado idna, until today, Chad had one guy to deal with. It was convenient. Hashta Chamisha, now I have five. No. Ado idna lehavu samcha adada. Until now, I had one fellow. There were no people relying on each other, and end up being a mess. I had one guy running the show, fully absolutely, and it was fine, and nobody was making trouble. Hashto chamisha samchadad. Now I'm gonna have five people relying on each other for the job. Absolutely, they're gonna mess up my whole vineyard. I don't want you involved. Amarlu, he told him, look, ishak lisu shvachaychu. I'll make you a deal. Here's the offer. Okay. If you'll take your 50%, your shvach, whatever you're supposed to get, umustal kisu, and you willingly leave the job, muta, fine, okay. Be loy, but otherwise, mis alikn l'chub l'shvacha. If you refuse, I'm just going to evict you, I'm going to fire you without giving you a penny. Damar b'yuda, v'yitema samsei rav huna, v'yitema rav nachman, hai shasla d'shacha, Shaisel passes away, you're shindulay mis dalkin l'chub l'shvacha. You should know that the commission that was coming to him does not carry over to the kids. You can just fire the kids without giving them anything. It's not like it belonged to him to pass on. So basically, he had a full right to give them this sort of ultimatum. Either you leave willingly, I'll give you. Otherwise, you'll leave without anything. And the more disagrees, the more concludes, but we'll see it's incorrect, because if the father was entitled to 50% or whatever it is that he earned, that's regular earnings. It's like his. And that transfers to the kids and is rightfully theirs. So he must give them the percentage. Of course, he doesn't have to keep them on the job, but he has to pay them whatever they deserve. How was Shasla the Amar Luhu? We have another story of a Shoysel who told the owner, Imav Sedina, if I harm your property, I don't do a good job, Misalakna, I'm just going to leave. Afsid, okay, he messed up. Amar Yehuda, Mistak Lishvach. You can get rid of him without giving him a penny. Even though there was something that he improved, some growth happened, but he willingly gave that up when he said, I'm going to leave, right? Rav Kahana Omar, no, he disagrees. Mistakla v'shakla shvacha. Sure, he leaves, but he never meant to give up to forfeit his commission. Umoyde Rav Kahana, but even Rav Kahana would agree. Di Omar, let's say he would say clearly, if I fail, I pasidna mistalakna b'lo shvacha, I'm going to leave without taking a penny. In this case, you do as he says. Mistalak b'lishvach. Rava, Amar Rava disagrees. Asmachte. It's an exaggerated promise. It's not a serious type of commitment. Asmachte lekanya. It's not really binding. Asks the Gemara, Rava, Maishna ma desnan. According to Rava, how do we explain the difference between this and the Mishnah we had the other day? Desnan im oiver v'liyavet. We have a sharecropper who says, look, if I'm going to leave the field fallow, I'm not going to work this year. Ashal meitava, I'll pay full rate. That's also an exaggerated promise. And the Mishnah says yes to keep to his word. Why is this different? No, says him, a big difference. He's just compensating the owner for the loss that he caused him by leaving the field fallow. That's a fair deal. That's an exaggerated promise. But here, yeah, we deduct whatever he did wrong, but the rest he's entitled to take. And the rest, we must pay him. Says the Gemara, there was a story about another Shaisel. Runya, that was his name. Shasla. He worked for Ravina. Runya Shasla Ravina Hava. Absid, he did a bad job. Salke, he threw him off the job. Oslo came to Rav, he comes to Rav. Amalei, he says to Rav, complaining. Chazi mar, Maika Ovali, do you see what my boss did to me? Amalei, so Rav says, sure, Shab Ravalach, he did right. Amalei, so Runya complained. Holy history, he didn't warn me ahead of time. Amalei, Rav says, Loitzrich Elahasreis. Warning in this case is not necessary. Because when it's something so critical as tending to a vineyard, you can cause permanent, irreversible damage. You don't need to be warned. You have to be conscientious and careful the first time around. And if you mess up, you're out. Rava follows his opinion. Rava says the following individuals have a sort of a standing warning. Mikri Dardiki, one of them is a Rebbe in the Cheder. If he he errs in his teachings, the kids get the wrong information. Shasla or a shaisel tafcha a moyhel v'umana. Sorry, tafcha is a sheikh. V'umana is a moyhel. V'sapar masa is a sefer, right? He writes the sefer Torah. All these fellows must be extra careful. Kulon, all these people kumusarim v'imden. It's as though they have a standing, outstanding warning hovering over their head. Kumusarim v'imden dam. Klodim also, what's the rule? Called pseidli hadar? Anybody who can cause, in this profession, can cause irreversible damage. Kumusarim v'imden dami. And therefore, one strike and you're out. Says the Gemara, Shasa, there was another story regarding a sheisa d'amalu. He turns to his owner after many years. Okay, could I please have my commission? The Beina Lamesak, Laar Yisrael, I want to move up to Yisrael. Okay, and the crop was still unpicked, unharvested. He worked on it, he developed it, but it sort of left it in the middle, left it hanging, and now he wants his commission. Also, Kamed Rafa Bar Shmuel. Amalu, he tells him, look. So he instructed them, Havali Shvach. He told the owner, you have to give him his commission. Amalei Rava. So Rava thought he meant that he gets the full crop. Ihu Ashpach. Only he contributed to this growth. Arale Ashpach. What about the property? Meaning the owner also should get part. Amalei, he says, you're right. I'm not part of the Shvach coming. I never meant that he gets more than half. He gets 50% as per the standard, you know, commission arrangement. Palgo de Shvach coming in Lecha. Amalei. So he told him, but look, he's causing trouble. He's causing the owner extra expenses by leaving prematurely. Amar Lei, so he told him, no, it's unfair for him to take the full 50% that he's typically entitled to. You know why? Because there are now added expenses on account of the owner. Look, you're leaving mid-season. Ada idna have a shakel balabai's palk, right? Up until today, the deal was the owner gets 50%, b'shas l'palgu, and the worker takes the gardener takes 50%. But hashta now, who's going to finish the year? Who's going to take care of the crop that's still on the trees? Bo'ilim isav, he has to find an aris, right? A typical sharecropper, he has to give him 30%. That's the standard fare for the aris. Bo'ilim isav mansa, the portion larisa to the aris. So the sheisel, upon his departure, has to account for that as well. Amalei, he says, yeah, that's what I meant. Riva de shvacha kamina. I meant that he only gets a quarter, typically takes half. He has to forego part of that. Now, how exactly does that solve the problem? Well, let's see. Savar Rav Ashi lamemer. Rav Ashi figured, this is how you calculate the formula. When he said a quarter, he means like this. Riva, duhu danka. A quarter, which is really a sixth. How's that? And Rashi explains. Let's say, just to keep it simple, this year's crop yielded, six dinar, okay? So the shvach amounts to six dinar. Typically, the sheisel takes three, the balabais three. But first, you have to deduct for the aris, the extra expense, which is going to be a third. It's from six. You have to give him two. So you're left with four. And now the sheisel will take a quarter of that, a quarter of the two-thirds, a quarter of the four, which is one. So he's walking away with $1 of the total, out of the total amount of six, so it's really a sixth of the total amount. Riva du danka. Why? The Amar Rav Menumi, Breder Rav Nochumi, right? It works. Ba'ashra the Shakal Shasla Palga, Harisa Tilsa, in a place where the Sheisel typically walks away with half, and the Aris, who comes, to just a tenth of the crop, right? A Sheisel gets a higher percentage because he actually planted the trees, he's maintaining it for the long term, and Aris is sort of a year by year sharecropper. So the Aris's rate, the Aris's commission is less, he takes a third. Marisatil, so high shasla. So therefore, if a sheisel decides to leave mid-job, the boy is still okay. Yavin alei shvacha, we give him his percentage of shvach, and he leaves. But we do it in a way, in a manner, that will protect the homeowner and protect him from any financial losses. Kehechad l'nimtayei hefsid the balabais in a way that the balabais does not lose out. So now, Iyamas Rishlaima, so this works well if we say, as we just explained, that riva du danka, that when we give him a quarter, it means really a sixth of the total amount. Shaper. So now the owner didn't lose anything on account of the extra expense to the oris. Right? Because again, we start with $6. The oris gets two. The shoysel only walks away with one, leaving with the balabais with three, which is really what he initially was entitled to. Three out of six, 50%. Eli amris riva mamish. But if you go a literal, a quarter, that he literally meant he gets a quarter of the total six, so the shoysel walks away with 1.5. And now he has to give the aris two, leaving the balabais with 2.5. Kamatili psedil balabais palga, danka. So the balabais will lose that a half of a six, a half a dollar. So apparently when we said the shasla takes a quarter, we meant a sixth of the total amount, as we explained. You start with six, two goes to the aris, one goes to the shaisa, leaving three, which is half of the total amount of the balabais. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rav Rav Yisrael Rav Ashi. No. But lamele, because the shaisa can respond by saying, look, I don't need an aris for my half. Right? You're giving an aris a third of the total six. No. You don't have to have anybody come take care of my part. Ano, aunt, you, mansa dilach havi larisa. You, Mr. Owner, you hire the aris for your to take care of your part. Vano mansa dili, and regarding my portion of the crop, my I'll do whatever I want with it. I'll sell it or whatever. I don't need an aris taking care of my crop. So. Yeah, when he said a quarter, he really meant a quarter for the sheisel, right? Because I don't need to give a third of mine to the others. So if you were going to give me one, give me 1.5. Give me back the third that you took away from me. So that was the question asked to Rav Ashi. And according to Rashi's interpretation, he really accepted the challenge. It was with Gasha. He says, that's a really strong question. When you get to the deep discussions of Maseches Zevachim, when you get there, talk, actually come and ask me this question. We'll deal with it then. Meaning, it's a real good question. Gufa, let's go back. Omar Rav Menyumi, right? Breder Rav Nechumi. So we go through this formula again. Ba'asur Shakal Shasla Palga, Aris of Tulsa, right? In a place where the Shaisal is entitled to 50%, the Aris gets a third. Hai Shasla, the boys, look, if the Shaisal leaves the job midway, Yavin Alei Shivachi, Masalkin Alei. So show we give him, you know, what he's entitled to in a way that will protect the homeowner from any future losses. Ki Echad Lelifsud Balabayas. Omar Rav Menyumi, Breder Nechumi. So based on this formulation, kupa, saba, let's say he has some old vines that have, you know, dried up and are no longer producing, and the landowner wants to uproot it. Palga, so half of it goes to the shoysel. It's like any other, it's like grapes, like any other pears. Like any other product off the field. But shatfa nahara river. Let's say it was transplanted, it was uprooted by the river. That's not something expected. It's not a routine type of, scenario. So in a non-routine scenario, as we said before, he only gets a quarter river. He gets a quarter of the firewood. And somehow we connect this to the previous discussion that when it's something that he anticipated, he's entitled to 50%. But something which is unanticipated, something which is not really part of the routine arrangement, his percentage, his commission goes down to a quarter. And somehow this, I guess it's just like a standard formula, which entitles him to less. Hogavra de mashkin pardis lechavri, lesser shnin. Now we go over to the idea of a mashkin. A fellow borrowed money. He allow the lender to sit on the field and to work it and to get the pay raise, and put it, you know, towards the balance of that loan, right? It's a mashke, mashkanta dusuro, they deduct from the loan based on the income of the field, right? Because the chamishnin, what happened was after 5 years, the paradise, the vineyard, stopped producing. Kash means a hiskin, it got old, it got dried up, it's done. And Rashi says, ubezmanai, shahaya roi lukach, was anticipated, right? Now, what happens to these vines? Are they considered firewood? In which case, it can only be used for firewood. Is it called like pears? Is it like grapes? In which case, the bank, the fellow who lent the money, the Baal HaMashkin, just walks away with it, like any other pears that he takes. Rava disagrees. And this a little bit ties into the discussion way back in the beginning of today's daf. According to Rava, if it's the actual tree, you can't call it peris. Karnahavi, it's the actual principle, it's the inherent property. In which case, the bank can't just walk away with it. You can't take away this fellow's property, you can take produce. But this isn't peris. Rather, you take these vines and you sell it. If you look at karka, in exchange, you take the money, and the money received in exchange, you take and reinvest it, you buy more property, which now belongs to the borrower, with the peris, and the lender continues eating the peris. Mezve, here comes a kasha. On Rav, who considers this to be non-peris. Yavashim, oiniktsas. So again, we go back to the mashkin arrangement. The tree dried up, or got chopped down. Shnei masurim boy. Both individuals cannot take it. Ketzad yasa, what should they do? You machru le'etzim, you sell it for firewood. You reinvest it into property, and have the bala mashkin eat the peris. My lab, let's assume you have to win the nixas. Both examples cited in the Brice are similar to each other. Ma nixas, just like when you chop the tree, bizmani, we're assuming that the fruit tree was chopped because it stopped producing, right? Af yavish bizmani. Likewise, when we speak about drying up, ceasing to produce because of its old age, it's expected. And what does the Brice say? It's still considered keren, its principle. The katani, you look at when karak, you have to reinvest it. Alma karnavi apparently has the status of keren. Loi, he says there were nixas to me the yavish. Let's go the other way. Let's compare nixas to yavish. Ma yavish below is my, just like yavish. Can certainly be speaking that happened prematurely, unexpectedly. Av nixas below is mama, likewise. The nixas story happened, you know, just randomly, right? So there we say, look, this wasn't the natural course of events. Even Abaye agrees in this case. That's not the derech, it's not what we expect, it's not what it's meant to be, and therefore it doesn't have a din of peres. He chopped off a piece of the property. So there, you have to reinvest it. Tashmai comes another right. Nafloga of fun and vizesim, zakenim. We have a married woman who inherited vines, old olive trees that are no longer producing fruit. They're only good for one thing, for firewood. You sell it as firewood, and you reinvest it. You buy another piece of property, and the peris go to the husband. So what's the kasha? Apparently, because they're actual trees, they're called keren, because if they would be considered peris, like Abaye, then the husband would just keep it. You know, with Chachamim, granted the husband rights to his wife's peris. Aim of his skin, says the Gemara, well, let's revise. His skin, suddenly they turned old, they aged prematurely. In which case, all agree it's considered keren. Yibayi, same another pshat. To solve our kasha, love me, Kimnala, you haven't we already established and explained that halacha, kigan shenafla b'sada acheres? We're speaking that she only inherited these trees in somebody else's field. The property was not hers, only the trees. So in that case, all agree, the kochal yukarna, if you allow the husband to just pull out those dead trees, she has nothing left. That's all she had. So in that case, he has no right to take it. Rather, he has to use it to buy karka, to reinvest it, and then take the pears off the karka. But in a case where a person is a landowner upon which we have trees which died, perhaps in that case, since it's going to be the actual sada left for the owner, then certainly we can afford to consider the dead trees as peris. So we pretty much started and ended the daf with the same discussion. What is the status of a tree? So in the beginning we discussed the shvach, right? The added thickness, the added growth, the added value, which the tree accumulated under the Mekabel's care, according to Abaye. It's called peres. He's entitled to take some of that on his way out, at least to be compensated for that. According to Rav, it's called keren, which ties into the last sugya now as well. Then we discussed that Rav Papa demanded payment for these trees, which grew under his watch, and all agree in that case. Even Rav would agree, because that took place, displaced his other plants. We moved on to the Shai sale, a different type of arrangement. He is a vineyard, the planter and caretaker. He gets 50%. And that gets transferred to his kids. But, the owner is entitled to move on to a different contractor if this fellow passes away. We discussed a list of people who are Musrin Va'imid. They're forewarned ahead of time because they're dealing with very critical professions. Then we discussed the Sheisel decided to move that to Eretz Yisrael. He's entitled to a portion of his share of his shvach, provided we accommodate the owner on his future expenses. Then we discussed the status of these non-producing trees. Yeah, the Machlekes, Abaye, Rav. Surah Tevis, Hatzlacha Rav, and all the best.